Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the ALAC Leadership Team ALT Monthly Call on Wednesday, the 30th of April, 2014, at 1900 UTC. On the call today, we have Olivia Crippen-LeBlond, Julie Hammer, Tijani Benjama, Alan Greenberg, Maureen Hilliard, and Devin Non-Tucklish. From Apologies, we have Evan Lebowitz and Holly Reck. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Ariel Liang, Gisela Gruber, and myself, Terry Agnew. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Terry. And just checking if we have missed anyone. Have we not mentioned someone's name? No, I don't hear any sound to that effect, so that's great. Let's go on immediately with the review of our action items from our last ALAC call on the 29th of April, and of course we'll be reviewing the action items from our last at-large leadership team call. So the 29th of April, that was yesterday, and we have a number of action items that need to be reviewed right now. There are a number of open action items, and I don't note any newly assigned action items on that page. I'm not quite sure whether that is an error or how that was done. I certainly imagine that we did have some new action items. But let's go through the ones which are the open action items and then see with staff if we have any newly assigned action items to add to this. Maps to work with Dave and Olivier on the development of an overall workspace for the collection of at-large action items. We might need to change this now over to Ariel Liang to work with Dave and Olivier on this, since Matt has now moved on and is working for another part of ICANN. Heidi is to check with ICANN Legal in consistency travel on gathering passport information for the Atlas 2 travelers to send to the relevant UK ministry. Heidi, has there been an update on this?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I'm going through the action items. Heidi is to check with ICANN Legal and Contingency Travel on gathering passport information for the Atlas 2 travelers to send to the relevant UK ministry.
Well, okay, this is you, Heidi. So we know that the letters for the invitation letter have been translated. We know they've been posted. We also know that Joseph he already went through all of those participants who are getting need visas. He contacted them several weeks ago to get that process going. Regarding the Foreign Office, I'd need to follow up with that, whether that's been done.
Okay, thank you. Next, staff is to liaise with members of the ALC on filling the ALAC work part 2, 90 minutes. I believe that's pretty much done. That was something that was supposed to be done for Singapore. We can mark this as being done. Oops, where am I? Sorry, my screen has just jumped. Let's go back to it. Next we have Cheryl Manganore and Evan Nibovich to liaise with Rudy Vansnake in regard to the implementation of consumer metrics and follow up further details. Yes, Tijani,
Olivier.
You have your hand up. Go ahead,
Olivier.
You have the floor.
Yes, I'm sorry, I would like to speak about the previous point, the previous action item. We spoke a long time before about doing something with the Foreign Office, with the UK administration, to facilitate the visa obtention or the visa delivery to the Atlas 2 participants. And what we have now, what is translated, are only letters, normal letters from ICANN and from the host, I think. I don't know what is London something, but I think it is the host of the summit, the English host. I am not sure it was requested. And for the normal cases, I think that it will be sufficient, even if the visa takes a very long time to be given, and even if it is very expensive. In Tunisia it's 400 dinars, that is 200 euros. But this is another point. We need people who will have problems to get a visa to have a support from the UK administration. This is what is needed, and I hope we can do that, because we don't want to see anyone from ALS miss the summit because of the visa issue. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Tijani. And Heidi, if you could please come back to us in the next couple of days, if it's possible, to find out what is going on this level. What I might do is to email the UK GAC representative and find out from them if there are any special arrangements.
If I may, Olivier, I remember very well that Steve Croker, the chair of the board, committed to do something in this matter. And also, I remember very well Fadi Shahadi said that it is his commitment to make it happen. So perhaps we have to remind them of that, because I don't see that there is a real official action from ICANN toward the Foreign Office.
Okay, thank you, Fadi. Thank you, Tijani. I've taken note, and we'll follow up with all three. Let's go on with the next one then. So the consumer metrics. So Cheryl Langdonor and Evan Leibovich to liaise with Rudy Van Meek in regard to the implementation of consumer metrics and follow up further details. There has been no follow up on this so far. I know that there has been some work, of course, on the consumer metrics working group, and it looks as though things are moving in the right direction. Both Cheryl, Evan, and Rudy are on that working group. I think that we can mark this as being done, because they have been liaising, the three of them have been speaking together. Next staff to monitor the use of additional languages over the course of a few months, as ALAC, APRALO, and LACRALO calls will be offered additional language interpretation by the language services. Have we had any results on this so far?
So this is Heidi Gisela. Can you give an update? Otherwise, I'm happy to do so. Gisela, you're on mute if you're speaking.
Sorry, Gisela here. Just had to unmute. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I did send an email to Cristina Rodriguez, find out when we would be getting the additional languages and which languages we would have first. And unfortunately, I haven't heard back yet, so I'll send a third email to her trying to get an answer on that and keep you posted.
Thank you very much. Then this remains open. Let's continue. Staff to forward the final Net Mundial travelers data to be posted on the CCWG Wiki to ALC members who will also be traveling to Brazil by email so as to preserve confidentiality. That's been done. Adam Greenberg is to draft a statement of support on the ICANN Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance submission to Net Mundial. That's been done as well. We'll be speaking about this in a moment. ALAC to create, and I'm passing over the action items which are not open anymore, of course. ALAC is to create an at-large ad hoc task force or working group at the upcoming ALAC call to organize the selection of two ALAC reps to the transition of NTIA stewardship of the INA function. And all of this, in fact, a current PC on NTIA closing on the 7th of May, creation of the steering group on NTIA. This needs a selection process of two people from at large. The suggestion is to have a selection committee created like the one that selected a short list of people for ATRT2, and the involvement of the ALAC in the SOAC Cross-Community Working Group on IANA, which is likely to be created by the GNSO and CCNSO, inviting other SOs and ACs to become part of the CCWG. That, I believe, is in the process. It's half done, isn't it? Heidi?
Yes, this is Heidi. Yeah, we're working on that right now. In fact,
I think that Ariel has created some workspaces. So yeah, that all should be what was done on what was asked for on the ALAC call yesterday. We are in progress on that today.
Okay, thank you very much. So if you all refresh your page of 29th of April action items, you will find out that magically new action items have now appeared, and we can go through these. So you've got the first one is for Natalie Peregrine to follow up with Noreen McKersher about the .mobile liaison report. I know that Natalie is not on the call, so it would be, I'm not sure, I don't think anyone else. I certainly haven't heard from Murray about the .mobile liaison report, so we'll wait on this. Next, and that's a liaison, it should be written differently anyway, the at-large ad hoc task force for the selection of two ALAC representatives for the ICANN-wide IANAD Stewardship Transition Steering Committee to be created within 2 weeks from 29th of April 2014. Staff is to send a call for this membership of this task force. Set up its weekly workspace, create a mailing list. That's essentially the same type of action item as what we've seen previously. So that's going on at the moment. The new ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship on the ANA function is to be created. Staff is to set a call for membership for this working group, set up in its wiki space, and create a mailing list, and that's also ongoing. And then the new GTLV working group is to analyze the input on the tab and suggest the next step by contacting at-large staff. The comment closes on the 7th of May, so it's another week, exactly another week to the day, when this will be closed. And I would suggest perhaps that Gisela would start work with the new GTLD working group, perhaps to suggest that there would be a call of the new GTLD working group shortly after the 7th for them to start work and get back in order. And I'm not sure whether an email has been sent to the new GTLD working group letting them know that this piece of work is coming shortly in their direction. So that could be a good thing to do. Heidi, you have raised your hand. You have the floor.
Yes. Just really quickly, this is Heidi for the record. Currently, there is a call for new members of that group, the new GTLD working group, as well as a reconfirmation of current members. That ends on the 2nd, on Friday. So perhaps once that's done, we can then send the note out immediately after that so we can add all the new members.
That would be fantastic.
Okay?
Yeah, that would be great, Heidi. Thank you. That'd be super. Next, the formation of an ad hoc at-large curation working group is to be placed under the items for decision on the next ALAC call. That's the May ALAC call. That's in progress. The RALO leaders are to follow up on the ALS is to be decertified, listed on the page that is given there. I've already received, this is just a quick update, I've already received a response from both from LACRALO leadership and from URALO leadership that the ELSs that are listed are indeed the ones that they have flagged, and there are no further at-large structures to be delisted in their, or decertified in their region. And at the moment, the RALO leaders are, both leaders from LACRALO and from EURALO are following up and providing details of the reason why there should be a delisting, a decertification of those ALSs. Staff is to add the item of the ALS decertification to the May 2014 ALAC meeting and set up votes before the Atlas 2 in June to officially decertify the ALSs concerned. And I wanted to touch on this very quickly, this action item, and maybe just get the temperature here from those present. Do you think that we should have a vote? I mean, of course, each ALS decertification is going to be happening by itself. Should we batch them all in one go, or should we just start the votes as things go along? I note that there are already a couple of at-large structures now which have the proof of them needing to be decertified, so we could actually start the process before even having any discussion about them, discussion on a call about them, by launching the discussion on the ALAC list and in a week's time starting a vote, since the cases are pretty clear-cut? Or should we wait until you have a sizable number of ALSs that we can all decertify in one swipe? Any preference? Tijani Benjama.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I don't think we have to wait. I don't know why we have to wait. I think we have to proceed as soon as we have ALSs that are confirmed to be decertified. We have to go ahead. I don't think.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. Maureen Hilliard?
Thank you, Olivier. Maureen Hilliard for the record. I was just sort of going to sort of mention that, as we have a certification process that involves the RALO and a recommendation to ALAC about certification, because it's actually sort of like quite a big call to be decertifying them, that perhaps the same recommendation coming from a RALO that an ALS be decertified therefore before the vote should also take place. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Maureen. The whole process is described on that page, on that wiki page, and indeed it's got all the details, including the proof and the request from the RALO. If these ALSs are listed on that page, it's because the RALOs have given them, have given their details on that page. So it's a request from the RALO to delist them. Decertify them, sorry. David Antilixing.
Thanks. This is Dave. I guess I support Tijani. I mean, the thing is that what's important is that the information is placed on the wiki by the RALOs, showing the evidence that, there's no website, evidence of emails or, all of that stuff. Similar to what was done to the two previous ALSs that were decertified, can't remember when now, but it was sometime about six months ago. So, once you have all the information on the wiki page so that ALAC can make its decision easily.
Thank you very much, Dave. Yes, that was the call that was made yesterday during the ALAC call, and that was the email which I sent to the secretariat after the ALAC call, I think, yesterday. And so we should be able to have that information very soon. The process has already been, as you very correctly mentioned, has already been tested about 6 to 8 months ago, and we have the details of the type of motion that needs to be drafted in the two ALSs that have been, two of the three ALSs that have been decertified so far, the reason being that the first ALS that was decertified was quite a while ago, and so we did not have the same rules of procedure. And now we do. So now we have a process by which we engage in this. Maureen Hilliard?
Thank you, Olivier. Maureen Hilliard for the record. I agree that that all the information is there and it has been recommended by the RALO. I think you were asking before whether we did it in a batch or whether we did it with them individually. My initial reaction was that we sort of like decertify them individually just as we certify them individually. But if all the information has actually been put in place and everyone has been notified that all those procedures have actually been taken place, then, a batch thing, I would go with that as well. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for this. And I note, for example, that the National Consumers League for La Corallo Decertification Workspace has the details of the request from the ALS itself to be decertified. So I think we can start work in having a proposal, a motion, do a cut and paste from the previous motions for the Internet Users Network Tokyo, for example, and then have a seconder and proceed forward with the vote. But of course, before we do that, we will have to open the discussion on the ALAC list for any points for or against. This one is a very clear-cut scenario. It's the ALS itself that has asked to be decertified. Others, we might have other concerns. Let's move on, but it's just to keep you informed that this is proceeding forward now quite swiftly, and I'm glad to see that we are able to clean up our listings before the at-large summit. Now, the next one is for staff to add the item of the ALS decertification to the May 2014 meeting. That's done. Sorry, the last one, Natalie Peregrine, to post the new online ELS application info on a wiki space viewable to the public. And I think there was one thing missing in there, and for her to publicize this on the list so that we can all have a look at it and provide feedback to her. Heidi Orish.
Yes, Olivia, thank you. This is Heidi for the record. Just before she publicizes it on the list, I would like to just go to legal. There was a question raised yesterday on the ALAC call about whether any kind of change for ALS certification needs to have bylaw changes. So I just want to clear that first. So if I could have a day or so, that would be good. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Heidi. That's a very good point that you've raised. And, of course, we can't just assume things. We have to make sure that this is checked. Let's go to the next list of action items, and that's the action items from the last ALT call, the 17th of April, 2014. Here again, we have a number of open action items, but they are being closed as we speak. The first one is mostly the same as what we had before. So Matt to work with Dave and Olivier on the development of an overall workspace. Heidi to check with ICANN Legal and Contingency Travel on gathering passport information. Staff to liaise with members of the ALT on filing the ALAC work part two. And this one is done. Cheryl Evan to liaise with Rudy in regards to the consumer metrics. And staff to monitor the use of additional languages over the course of the next few months. We've had updates for these, so let's pass them. Newly assigned action items, the majority of them have been completed. I note here that staff is to forward the final Net Mondial Travelers data. That's done. And Alan Greenberg to draft a statement on the ICANN Cross-Region Working Group on Internet Governance submission to Net Mondial. That is done as well. Could I ask staff or anyone who was assigned an action item if they wanted to talk about the completion of their action item there? Because I note that there are quite a few, and sometimes the action item requires some feedback as to how that action item happened. Heidi, is there anything that staff would like to raise?
For the newly assigned ones that have been now completed, I'm not sure which one. Sorry, this is Heidi for the record. The open
I'm just looking at it as a whole thing. Newly assigned action items from the 17th of April, 2014. They're all done. Is there anything you need to report back to us on any of those action items that are done? Or should just say, aye, sir, all done, thank you.
I would think that would be aye, sir, all done. And thank you, Ariel. Most of them are over to her. So basically, thank you, hats off to Ariel for being so efficient.
Fantastic. Thank you
very much. And I guess those need to be moved up to recently closed action items now, Ariel. That's the only thing.
Everything can move. Fantastic.
Thank you.
All right, let's get going. Agenda item number three, items for discussion. And we're looking at the policy advice on, there has been some movement since we've last spoken. And the movement has been such that if we look at the assistance or endorsement currently being developed, the policy development process on privacy and proxy services accreditation issues, the vote should be finishing today or tomorrow?
This is Ariel for the record. It will finish tomorrow, 23:59 UTC.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So now the next one is important. The ICANN draft five-year strategic plan, FY16 to FY20. Dave, you were not on the call yesterday, I think, when we touched on this. Is there any progress? Have you started looking at it with Raf Fatani?
This is Dave. I probably have not given it as much of a detailed look as I should have. So this is going to be on my urgent to-do list, and to get something done by the weekend to really look at it. I mean, I've been looking through the plan itself, the strategic, but nothing is jumping out to me as saying something's wrong with it. So I'm going to work hard on it, and I'll involve Ralph on us as well. I'll CC him some links to some of the past comments on strategic plans and so forth, and see if we can get something done. So my apologies.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dave. Now, looking at the list, the next one is the draft proposal on the principles for a process to develop a proposal to transition NTIA stewardship of the INF functions. As you know, there was a first statement that we made just to support the movement. That was one thing, but now there was a more required since there was an extended proposal that was made on the actual makeup of the group, the steering group, etc. There has been some feedback that took place yesterday, and if I recall correctly, was it Alan Greenberg that said that he was going to touch on this and have a little added bit? I cannot remember who was supposed to hold the pen on this. Does anyone remember?
This is Ariel for the record. Olivia, which one the strategy panels you're talking about?
A draft proposal based on initial community feedback
of
the principles and mechanisms and the process to develop a proposal to transition ICANN stewardship of the INF functions. And I said it in one breath.
You said you will be the pen holder, but you don't know yet.
Still unknown. Thank you. That's really great. Okay, we really need to do something on that, and that's something I will. I think I can work on myself to try and see what we can do about this. There are concerns about the top-down nature of this, but at the same time, I think there is a since we've already started our process for selecting people for this. As far as the process is concerned, it might well be that there is going to be support for that in our community. Let's move on to the next one, the interim report on internationalized registration data expert working group. The ALAC is commenting on a statement that was drafted as his first statement by Raf Fatani. And so it's pretty well written. I invite you all to have a good look at it. It's a very short time that we have to provide our input. The call for comment closes on the 5th of May, so that's just 1 week from now, and we will be submitting the statement late. And this, of course, this statement has been already reviewed by some members of the IDN working group, and Raf, I'm glad to announce, has also joined the IDN working group based on this as well. So we certainly have someone to take over from our great friend who's going to be going for the board. And let's move on. ICANN strategy panels. Holly Reich is currently drafting a statement for each one of the strategy panels. I invite you all to have a look at them. Quite important. The discussion which took place was quite good. Alan has actually sent a note to mention that there is an interesting set of proposals or comments sent in by the GNSO with regards to the multi-stakeholder innovation panel, where there was some mention of crowdsourcing and mention of a whole lot of things, which didn't quite please the GNSO at all, actually. And it would be interesting to actually read this. I note that in Holly's text, she mentions our concern is that some of the suggestions, such as crowdsourcing for obtaining broad-based input, may be seen as alternatives to existing methods of reaching consensus on issues. Certainly, the GNSO on this is scathing in its criticism of this suggestion of crowdsourcing. So what I suggest is we review this and perhaps beef up a little bit a couple of the points that we make in there. We have just a couple more days. Have we, Ariel, had any answer from Alice Jensen as to how much time we have to reply?
Yes, this is Ariel for the record. Alice said the hard stop is today. So I sent her an email again and telling her they haven't received much input through the mailing list and she hasn't got back to me yet from the follow-up email. That's the response so far.
Okay, thank you. So their hard stop is today because the comments closing date, the official comments closing date was today indeed. But what we did ask was if we could have a few more days. Well, let's hope that we are able to have a few more days so as to observe our process of review. But that makes this particularly important since you are the ALC. Could you please have a quick look at that and voice your concerns or your input or even say that you agree with it, and then we can proceed forward. Next, the IDN variant TLDs, the label generating rule procedure implementation, maximum starting repertoire version 1. The ALAC is voting on the statement, and I think that vote closes tomorrow as well or shortly. And then the ICANN Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance's submission to Net Mondial. Alan Greenberg has submitted a statement, and I thought we might wish to have a quick look at it because it is very short, and it's as follows. The ALAC would like to go on record as supporting the process that the CCWG followed in drafting this statement and supports the CCWG statement submitted to Net Mondial. That's how short it is. In addition to this, Leon Sanchez is suggesting that the ALAC might be interested in sending or producing another statement with points from the ALAC about the Net Mondial overall outcome document. And I don't know if there is any taste for this in this group. So I open the floor if you think this is a good idea. Heidi mentions that the URL is longer than the statement. I was going to say the title is probably longer than the statement itself. Tijani Benjema, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you, Olivier. I find the idea not bad, but I think that there was a lot of reaction, a lot of comments on the outcomes from a lot of people from our community, and to whom we will send this statement? It will be useful for what? This is my question. But it is always good to have the point of view of the at-large about the outcome of the Net Mondial. But what will be the use of this statement? This is my question.
Thank you very much, Tijani, for this. I guess, if Olivia speaking, I wonder actually if there is a process at Net Mundial that will now be a follow-up and to collect the feedback from the different parties that took place, that took part in the discussions. And that, of course, is just pure speculation. Let's keep this onto the side for the time being, but I certainly, your point is very valid indeed. Drafting statements is one thing, but to whom do we send them, at least on this topic, and sending such a statement to the board is not going to be of any help or of any use to anyone.
No.
Has there been... Now, Dave asks in the chat... Dave, you have put your hand up. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, well, this is Dave. It was just to ask that same question. Were there any comments by any of the other ACSOs in the cross-community working group regarding the statement? Has there been any statements from those, from them? That's what I wanted to find out. Because then, if there were, then, well, maybe then to look, consider a statement as also. But it's the same, but I would then agree with Tijani as to the usefulness of sending a comment to the board. So that was my question.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Dave. So the statement itself that Alan drafted, the short statement that Alan drafted, was meant to go over to the public comment period system. And I'm just looking at it as we speak at the moment, and there is absolutely nothing on there. So no one has commented on it. Just to give you an idea, the suggestion that the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance would be submitting this as a public, opening up a public comment period was made by some board members who said, well, if you'd like to see more input into your process, then why don't you just have a public comment process and find out if you get any more information and more input from people, and it looks as though there's been nothing on there. So it is true that the ALAC would be the only one of the SOs and ACs to send a message of support for the cross-community working group, perhaps because everyone else's head was elsewhere. I don't know whether there will be any reply period. In general, if there's no statement in the initial comment period, the reply period is dropped. Now, with regards to the second statement, the one that Leon has suggested, that would, of course, not go to the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance because it is not part of the public comment process. And so there is indeed a question as to where we would send that. And the working group itself is not currently habilitated to be a link to the Net Mundial in any way, because it hasn't got the mandate to do so at the moment. So nothing submitted so far. Let's move on. We're wasting a bit of time on something that I guess is only peripheral to our work at the moment and to the issues that are at stake. I'll take it from your silence that we'll just proceed forward with Alan's statement and with minimal amount of time taken on this. Next, the draft implementation plan for the WHOIS online accuracy and reporting system. And the ALAC has submitted a statement and is voting on it at the moment. Now, I think that we have gone through the whole list of items for the public policy or for policy development. Are there any comments or questions regarding any of these? Seeing no one put their hand up, this is rather swift today. We're going to have a look and a review of the ALAC meeting of the 29th of April. There are two links, one to the agenda and one to the motions. And with regards to the adopted motions, there were none, so I just invite you to have a look at the agenda itself and open the floor for comments regarding any of the items on the agenda. So that's the consensus call on the creation of the task forces for the IANA stewardship, the public comment on the policy advisory boards, the review of the Net Mundial activities, the social media strategy, the Atlas 2 update, the ELS decertification, and the new online ELS application process. And of course, any of the reports that we've had earlier on. David and Felixson.
This is David and speaking. So just to be regarding the various working groups for looking at the NTIA stewardship of the IANA functions, I think there was three, possibly four, when I jump back into the call. So just to say, any calls that go out, we have to really be clear as to what each of these groups are doing. Otherwise, I think you'll have, the at-large themselves will be quite confused as to what each group is doing. So that's all.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave. Are we all clear about this? Because I did realize I might have made a dog's breakfast of the explanation yesterday. And so if you do need some clarification, now is the time to ask. Yeah, I think that we're all clear on it. Okay, that's fine. Any other thoughts at the moment? Don't see anyone. Okay, so the couple of things I wanted to touch on first, with regards to the consensus calls, I think we're moving quite well on this. With regards to the Net Mundial activities, there has been a follow-up today on the Net Mundial, on the Cross-Committee Working Group on Internet Governance. No one has had any further input or feedback so far from Net Mundial. What we will have in at large on the subject, on the topic of Net Mundial is in 2 weeks' time we'll have Nigel Hickson, who will be able to provide us with some and provide our at large structures with some feedback as to what happened, what the topic issues were, etc., etc. It's something which I think is important for many of our at-large structures because they're quite active in internet governance. So in this respect, we will probably see some increased participation from our at-large structures. Now, next, as far as the social media strategy is concerned, Dave, I must say there was an overall... I wouldn't call it standing ovation since it's all virtual, but we all were very impressed by the work that you did with Ariel. So well done, both of you, for this. And so far, I note there's been some good feedback on it, it appears. I'm really hoping that this can push forward. Dave, have you followed the process closely. Has there been any pushback on this so far, or is it all been quite smooth sailing?
This is Dave. There's only been one comment from the Capacity Building Working Group, just raising some queries as to, whether we can actually be able to do the proposed volume of tweets or posts during a live event, the two or three posts. And I've shared that with Ariel and so forth, so we'll respond to that comment. But the other comments have been, thanks, we'll look at it. I don't think there's been anything negative about it as such. So that's it.
Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. Yeah, that went very well, and the format of it was very good as well. So I must say thanks very much for that. And I look forward to see some progress on this very much so. Looking further down on the list of the things that we touched on, the Atlas 2 updates, we had to rush through this a little bit. I think, and I'd like to get a bit of feedback from staff because they also have a good view, but I think that this is going according to plan quite well at the moment. It's improving. There certainly is an increased amount of activity and more people that are getting involved with things. And perhaps first I should ask Tijani, since you are one of the main drivers of this with regards to the events agenda and so on. You did mention yesterday you had some concerns, and maybe we could discuss these right now.
Okay, thank you, Olivier. One of the main concerns is about the room for the fair of opportunity. If we will have it in the ALAC room with the set in new shape, it will be, I don't know, I would like to be positive, but it will not be really a successful event, because people cannot circulate, because it will make the area very tight, and because perhaps people, when they come, see that it is not convenient to network because of these obstacles, perhaps people will not stay with us, and they will go. So this is something that we have to sort out. I know that Heidi committed to see with Nancy if it is possible to remove the tables during this event. I remind that from the beginning that I do prefer that we make it perhaps outside the venue, but with better area, better space, to make everyone able to circulate, and to make it more convenient for everyone. Perhaps it would be better, because that's right, that inside the venue we will have perhaps more people coming, but perhaps we will not have them stay with us if it is if we set the room in this manner. This is one of my biggest concerns. There is another concern regarding the formation of the thematics. I do realize that we are really late in this topic, this task, because we decided that we will not ask people to choose their group before giving them a short statement or short paragraph about the theme of the group, and we decided that the subject matter experts will write those paragraphs. Wolf said that he circulated this information for those people, and perhaps we have some of them who wrote it, but the others didn't. We need them as soon as possible, because we need to know, we need to form the groups, and we will form them according to the capacity of the rooms, because we don't have equal rooms for each group, and we will be obliged perhaps to ask people to change their choice, because this group is really overloaded, and the room will not be able to accommodate this number. This is the problem. So we have two big rooms and three small rooms. So we have to accommodate the formation of the groups according to this constraint. And with this constraint, it is more urgent to have the group now. We need to prepare the work of the thematic groups by teleconferences, deciding on the reply, choosing definitely or electing the chair and the rapporteur. That's right, that we will try to drive it, this operation. We will try to make people volunteer for those functions. We will try to ask some people to volunteer for these functions, so that they will be the moderator or the reporter. But we need to do that before the summit, because when we will be in the summit, we will go directly to the work. We have only four sessions for each group. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. So there are two points that you've made, first regarding the ALAC room and then regarding the thematic sessions. Let's go over to Heidi regarding the ALAC room. Heidi, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. You're reading my mind what my point is going to be.
So I was in touch with Nancy over the last few days, and so the latest is that the U-shaped table cannot be removed. What can happen is that the chairs on the outside of the U can be removed, and that will open up quite a bit of space. But again, as she mentioned, in Singapore, because of all the wires and the speakers, et cetera, all the technical equipment behind or within the U, that can't be touched, and no one can go behind that into that U. The latest that I've asked her is, can maybe one or two tables or a few more within that U be pushed inward so that the people who are maybe hosting the Raylo tables stand in that space as a way to promote and to bring people up to their Raylo tables? And I have not had a response back from that. But that's the latest on the fair format.
Okay, thank you very much, Heidi. And I understand that Gisela is going to go to the hotel on sometime this week. Is she? Gisela?
Olivier Gisela here. Yes, Gisela here. I'm going tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning. Okay. Here's the thing. I have real concerns as well. That the room will be very tight if we have 160 at-large structures plus invitees and other people in there. And I really don't know what to do about this. If the tables cannot be moved, then it might be an actual risk of people falling over the tables as well. And I really am concerned about that. Heidi, you've mentioned there is no other location in the hotel that would be freed at that time. Does it mean we're absolutely stuck to be in this room?
This is Heidi for the record. So that's what I've heard from Nancy. I can go back to her again and see if there's a secondary ballroom, but I think, again, the issue is that the formatting in those rooms cannot be changed. So the secondary ballrooms, those larger ballrooms, have all those chairs right there. So that would be basically classroom style. That would not facilitate the kind of format that you're looking for either.
That's understood as well. Thank you, Heidi. It's Olivia speaking. We still have some time to work on this, but it's becoming quite critical that we find a solution. And I tell you why. I think that and I will speak to the Atlas, to organizing committee, but we definitely need to have a high-quality keynote speaker to speak to our delegates. Just having a fair of opportunities where people just talk to each other with their hands in the pockets with some background music playing is not going to be very stimulating. You do need to have something to bring people in. If we just count 160 people, that's actually more than 160 that will have to go in there. The capacity of that room is going to be quite tight. I know there is an ante room just before the main room, but even that is quite small. And to top the lot, the ceilings aren't that high either. So it feels quite claustrophobic. But I'll wait for Gisela to visit tomorrow. I hope, Gisela, that you will be able to visit that room and then to get a better second sense of whether that room is suitable or whether we need to really try and find something a bit bigger or maybe divide it in two or do something with it. Tijani Benjamin, your hand is up, and then we've got Dave and Antilik Singh. Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Olivier. Gisela, since you are going tomorrow to the hotel, I know you are very innovative and you have a very open spirit. Please try to find any space, open space, even if it is outside, because June, in Tunisia in June, we can do it outside. So if there is a terrace, a swimming pool, something like this, where we can go and do it there, please try to find something like this, because really, really, and with the tables in U-shape, it is not doable for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tijani Gisela here.
Go ahead, Gisela.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was muted. I will look at all the space. I'll look at the meeting rooms. And bearing in mind we are in London, so if there's any outdoor space, unfortunately it's not like Tunisia where you can guarantee that the weather is going to be good. I'll try and take photos if I can of the space. I know that Olivier has already kindly uploaded all the photos of the meeting rooms. My feedback will be more whether I think that we can really fit in there or not. And I know that Olivier has already done a recce a few weeks ago, so I'll just hopefully be able to complement it.
Okay, thank you very much, Gisela. Now, on to the second point that Tijani brought forward. And first Dave and Antilex, and then we'll go to Tijani's second point. So Dave, please, you have the floor.
Thank you, Dave and Ant speaking. So my question is, okay, for the ALAC room where the fair of opportunities, is it possible to have the, you know, protection for all the cables so that the persons can walk on behind the table, so to speak? And maybe what can that protection can be built in at the very beginning of the meeting and it's actually stay there. So maybe that's one approach to look at. So you won't have to like come in at the last minute to try to affect the change and then dismantle anything or so forth. Have it done at the very beginning. Have the cables protected, you know, using tape or, you know, re-squeeze or whatever, so that at the very beginning of the London.
Yes, thank you, Dave. I only caught some of what you said. I don't know, there seems to be an echo or something. Your voice gets dropped out every few words. But what I understood is we might have to look at keeping the cables in place and seeing if there could be protection for the cabling. I would say health and safety in the UK is very tough on these things, and they might totally object to having cables that are covered by gaffer tape or whatever other equipment it is. And that's going to be an issue as well, by the way, if we have people walking between the screen and the table and cables on the floor. Frankly, I don't know yet. I was suggesting in the chat that maybe we could ask for a plan of the room, including now the table locations and the IT cables and these sort of things. You okay with this, Dave? Was that the gist of your suggestion as well?
Now is the gist of it. Have the protection installed before the meeting starts, so you don't have to go back in just before the event, the fair of opportunities event. So
okay,
it could be left there.
Yeah, it could be left there. Yeah, but I mean, this is going to be for the meetings team to find out and find if it's possible or not. Heidi Ulrich, and then I was going to call on Maureen Hilliard.
Heidi,
you have the floor.
Yeah, actually, my first comment was regarding Dev's comment, and then the second one is regarding the comment that Maureen stated in the AC chat. The first regarding the request to get a map of the IT cables. I think that, you know, we have a great IT staff, and we now have a specialist team that does just ICANN meetings, and they are, you know, very, very knowledgeable. So I would think it's best that we just communicate the needs of this group to them and let them do their jobs rather than maybe telling them how to do their job. And then the second point, Olivier, do you want me to answer Maureen, or do you want Maureen to state that? Her question first.
If you wish to read Maureen's note, or Maureen, do you wish to expand on your contribution?
Thank you, Olivier. Yes, I just sort of like thought, I know that, I mean, I can understand and appreciate the difficulties of, you know, like, I mean, having to move furniture, especially, as you say, with all the complicated electronics and connections and things that are around. So I guess it's sort of, you know, I'm thinking the fair, of course, and how we might, you know, just be a little bit more flexible about how we arrange things so that we've got, you know, like if we've got people who are, you know, if we've got our ALSs who are presenting things and they've got set, activities sort of like set up on the tables, and that we have people who are sort of like the area that needs, where people are going to be moving around a lot, if that could be available, if that's, say, the internal bit or something like that, that we just look at what's available and we structure it a little bit more more flexibly. But, I mean, I haven't seen the setup, and Heidi, you might be able to make some comment on that suggestion.
Yeah, Olivia, may I respond to that?
Heidi.
Yes. Thank you. This is Heidi. So, Maureen, yeah, we're trying to be very flexible on this. So as Nancy stated in Singapore, and again in a recent email to me, no one can stand behind, within that U-shape or behind the table because of all those wires going on for the microphones, et cetera. So the latest thought that I had to her was, could some of those tables, maybe every other table, be pushed in, towards the inner part? So that would open up that a little bit of a space between each, every other table, so those people could stand there. So not directly within the U, but next to the U in a little concave area, if I'm making myself clear.
Yes, thank you very much, Heidi. I can certainly visualize this. So you have a recess by moving some tables back, and people can stand within the recess.
Yes,
these little cubicle
type
things.
Yes. So recess between every other table. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
And you're basically saying that it is impossible, or it is not recommended, or it is not allowed to stand within, inside the U, basically.
Yes. This is Heidi again. Yeah, Nancy was very clear on that in Singapore, and again in an email. You can't stand behind there because of all the equipment, the wires, et cetera.
Maureen?
Thank you, Olivier. Maureen, for the record, yes, I do think that not being able to actually use the inside of that U is really, that does create a difficulty, and because it's a big space. I think it's whatever way you can sort of like try to amend that by, as you say, trying to create whatever little spaces you can, is going to be very, we're going to need that space. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maureen. So that was the one point to discuss, and I think we'll just have to wait and think of an alternative. Let's see if there is a possibility for an alternative room than this. Now, with regards to the thematic sessions, which Tijani alluded to, I also have much concern that there doesn't appear to have been much movement from the subject matter experts. The location for these at the moment is at this wiki page that I've just put on the Adobe Connect chat. And what we have is five topics, five thematic groups. The first one, the future of multi-stakeholderism, has a subject matter expert named Adam Peake. The next one, the globalization of ICANN, has Renalia Abdul-Rahim and Roberto Gaetano, jointly subject matter experts. The third one is the global internet, the user perspective, has Jean-Jacques Subona and Fatima Cambronero. The fourth one, ICANN transparency and accountability, Avery Doria and Hong Chui. And the fifth one has three people now, at-large community engagement in ICANN, Olivier and Murray, and Stefan van Gelder added to this as well. All I can say is with regards to, because I think that Stefan joined today, but Murray and I have already been emailing each other, and so we have the topic list, the subtopic list already drafted, and Murray is putting together a little summary of what the working group will be working on, the thematic group will be working on. So that will be ready on our side. I have no idea of the other thematic groups so far, and it really is down to Wolf to follow up with those thematic groups. I wonder whether any of us can ask or put pressure or send questions to those people who have been selected as subject matter experts of the other thematic groups. Tijani Benjema.
Tijani?
Olivier, do you hear me?
Yes.
Do you hear me, Olivier?
Okay,
thank
you.
Okay, thank
you.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I am a little bit concerned about three subject matter experts in one group. The role of the subject matter experts is to give information, help the group, because he is expert in the subject, and because he knows perhaps more than the others, because he knows what happened, etc. So he can give the right information so that people can discuss the theme with the right information. If we have three persons on this task, that means that perhaps they will be the only one who speak during the groups. So I don't see why we have more than one per group, really. Perhaps if we have more than one, they can discuss between between themselves, and only one can be, if you want, helping the group. Otherwise, it will be a mess. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And I don't know why there are more than, why there are three, or I think that there are two because of the fact that there were some people who wanted to work, several people that wanted to work on a topic, and maybe more than one facet to a specific topic. So, for example, the global internet, the user perspective, has a more hands-off facet to it that Jean-Jacques Subrenat would be pursuing, and one which is more directly involved with the IGF, where Fatima Cambronero, who is a member of the GAC, MAG, would have more hands-on knowledge on this. But on the rest of it, this is really something for Wolf and Evan to talk to us about. And I do note that there is an Atlas II working group call later on this week. So we'll probably have to raise this question then. I don't know if anyone else has more information on these things, on these topics. None so far. Okay. So that's the point at the moment. Tijani, I would say let's raise this, and I fully support your question, by the way. Let's raise this during the Atlas II organizing committee and the relevant section of the Atlas II working group. Going back to the monthly call that we had yesterday, the ALAC monthly call. So the agenda, thematic group coordination, sponsorship update. Some of you might have just seen an email that I sent over to the sponsorship working group to provide an update on the sponsors. So things are proceeding forward. We have only 51 days to go. It's not very much time, but we will continue pushing with sponsors, and hopefully we have enough to be able to have those extra activities that will make all the difference for our at-large structures and for the well-being of our at-large structures. Heidi or Rish?
Yes, Olivia, if I could just go back to the thematic group experts, SME.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't react quickly enough. I believe, and again, please do confirm this with Wolf, I don't think Evan's going to be on the call this Friday, but if you note that the current selected subject matter experts do represent a globally diverse group, and I think that was a large point in having those people there, that they do represent all of at-large regions, and they are, it's a good gender diversity as well. You have some newer people as well as some more experienced people. So I think a lot of it was to make sure that they bring their global views, perspectives, their experiences outside and within at large to the table, and to make it more inclusive. Thank you.
Thank you, Hadi. Tijani Benjamin.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. For this specific function, subject matter experts, I don't think that we have to look for any balance, any gender balance, any regional balance, any cultural balance. We need people who are experts in this field, and we need them to help the group so that when the group will make the statement, it will make it according to right knowledge and right understanding of some things that the expert knows, the others don't know. That's all. It is not a honor that we will give them to be experts. It is only to help the group. They will not be speakers. They will not be panelists. There is no panelist. It is only a discussion among the group, and the group will come up with a statement. And we need the group to be well-informed, well-advised, if there is an advice to give the group from the expert, so that the group will give the right statement for at-large. So this is my understanding of the experts, and if it is not like this, I wouldn't accept to have experts at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. It's Olivier speaking. So just a small concern, though. You mentioned there didn't need to be any geographical diversity, and I think that's not entirely correct. There needs to be some geographic diversity. If you end up with just a bunch of white Anglo-Saxon males or even European males, that's not going to be particularly helpful. And I do realize, in fact, that a lot of people do seem to be coming from the same region. But at least here we have some males and females, and also people from different parts of the world that are subject matter experts. And it's as much part of the optics, Tijani, as the actual work that we're going to do. And I have to remind you all that we are being watched. This whole organization, all of ICANN, but also at large, and all the summits will be watched very closely. And it's important that we do have this sense of worldwide connection and worldwide knowledge as well. So our experts are not only from one part of the world. But yes, they have
We're not ending
here with having people who have no knowledge of the processes. Back to you, Tijani.
Thank you, Olivier. As you know, for the first summit, there wasn't dysfunction. There wasn't dysfunction at all. There was a chair, a vice chair, and a rapporteur. Now, Wolf suggested or proposed that we have subject matter experts for each group. This is very good. And Olivier, when you look for an expert, you look to his color or his religion or his gender, you look to his expertise only. And this is the point. And we will have normally one expert per group. So how you will do the diversity when you have only one in a group? This is, for me, this is, if it turns to something that is more, controversial because of balance, etc., I think we will lose the main value of the subject matter experts. And we'll be obliged to take someone who hasn't the right expertise, who has small expertise, perhaps a little bit expertise, because he is from this region, or because he is a female, not a male, we have to take it. And this is, for me, not acceptable. We need a quality of statement that will lead us to a quality of the final document, which will be the metrics of the success of the summit. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Are you, it's Olivia speaking, are you saying you have concerns at the moment with the currently selected subject matter experts?
I am concerned about the requests, about the mail I received, and about the discussion we have now.
Okay. Understood. Well, look, this is going to be something, I think, that needs to be raised with the ATLAS working group. I personally, and this is just my point of view, think that it is good to have subject matter experts, and when we have two rather than one, that's fine too. The only concern I have at the moment is about the lack of movement from these subject matter experts. And no matter whether we have one, two, three, or more, if neither of them actually come back and proceed forward with getting the work done and start telling us they're busy and things, I would ask for their removal and a replacement to be found, even if it's just one subject matter expert, because the first thing is they're delaying us if there's no movement on that. I'm not too concerned myself on how many there are at the moment. Okay, let's move on then. So we went through the sponsorship update. Communications update, I understand that's moving quite well as well. Heidi, would you be able to provide us with some feedback on this, please?
Yes, so two aspects, three, and I'm going to let Ariel talk a little bit about the social media one in just a moment. The first is with the Atlas II website, so that did go on hold for just a little bit, but we're moving forward. The latest on that is that a message went out to the communications, the Atlas Communications Working Group, to ask for more information about their needs. So far we've had one comment back. The deadline for comments from that group is the 2nd, and early next week then we'll have a call, hopefully with a small section of that working group, some of the key developers of that website, our web admin team, including a native Spanish speaker, which I think may help things along, and then Olivia and Eduardo and staff on that to move that forward. So we have the full commitment from the web admin team, so that's a good step as well. In terms of the newsletter dev, any advance on that? That's beginning to worry me a little bit.
This is Dave. Are you hearing me?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
So, yes, yeah, there's some delay there. So, this is Dave. So, yes, I'm going to be posting something today to the communications group. I'm looking to actually transmit one letter by this weekend. The initial feedback from my draft newsletter has been more or less positive. So I'm going to now share it, which was posted privately to the various chairs and so forth of the various groups. And now I'm going to post it formally to the communication group mailing list, and then look to actually put stuff on the wiki, because I think this is the problem. A lot of information is being circulated, you know, independently in a Word document sent to one person, sent to another. So I'm going to try to collate all of that stuff on the wiki first, and then from there pull the information to make one newsletter happen by this weekend. So.
Okay, thanks very much, Dave. That's a good point. And I'm happy to see things slowly, finally moving forward. I wanted to ask staff, is there someone that is specifically in charge of shepherding this process? Because I understand this is one which needs a lot of communication between ICANN staff and the communications working group and Dave and the web, the people in the communications working group that deal with the web design. Is anyone specifically allocated to make sure the whole process is oiled up and doesn't come to a standstill and we don't lose time?
This is Heidi. Well, again, the issue of communication within the communications working group and staff and others, I hope, has been solved and is moving forward. So I think that was a cause for the delay, and I think now things are moving ahead. In terms of, you know, Dev, we've been in contact. Ariel's been in contact with Dev. I've been in contact with Dev. So as soon as we have the okay on that newsletter, we can move forward on that, including translation, et cetera. But we need clearance of the final version so we can move forward.
on that.
Okay, thank you, Heidi. But that wasn't the question I was asking. I asked if there was any staff member specifically. You mentioned Ariel. Is
yeah,
Ariel going to be keeping
a
close watch on this?
It's Ariel and myself that are doing that.
Okay, thanks. Now, I just need to make sure, you know, the stage that we're at now, we've got 2 months, really, 51 days until, it's even less than 2 months, until we reach the at-large summit. And we're going to have to start making sure we shepherd the whole process with volunteers very closely indeed, with some micromanagement sometimes needed in order to make sure we don't hit a stumbling block that then makes us lose 4 or 5 days. Time passes so quickly. So I wanted to make sure that we have you and your team as the people that are able to see pretty much everything that's going on and that are able to coordinate with each other to make sure that we don't hit stumbling blocks and we don't end up losing a week because two people, you know, one person has sent an email to someone else and the other person had that lost in their flood of emails and everyone is now upset because nobody talks to each other.
What we just need to stress is that everyone uses emails into the group, not to individual people. You know, otherwise, people are outside of the loop. So that's something we really need to do. The use of wikis, we need to stress that. And perhaps we need to have weekly OC calls now coming up since we're under the two-month mark. You know, maybe weekly OC calls where everyone's coordinating, all of the chairs of the groups are coordinating. That would be useful perhaps as well.
Okay, thank you. I'd say stress it, monitor it, follow it up. Dave and Antilix Singh, and then I note that Evan is asking whether there are any immediate questions for him before he goes, and I will think about this and have a good look at the... We're reviewing the agenda at the moment, Evan. Dave and Antilix Singh.
Well, this is Dave. I mean, I'll defer to Evan, so if you want to deal with Evan first. I just wanted to raise a question regarding the website.
Yeah, go ahead, that's fine. That provides, gives me time to think if there's anything we need to ask Evan. So go ahead, Dave, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. This is Dave and I'm speaking. So Heidi, if I understand correctly, so when do you think that the web team, ICANN, will be able to have a website workspace available for us to for the communications team to use? I mean,
Yeah, absolutely. This is Heidi. So basically, yeah, I mean, the delay on IT, on the web admin team, was the launch of the new ICANN. So now that that's been launched, they're waiting for the response. So they have a team put together running this. It's actually going to be a three-person team, as far as I know, one of which is going to be a native Spanish speaker, which I think is going to be key. And so we've had a meeting internally on this, and now we're waiting for the input. The input we've received so far is relatively general and perhaps was already noticed by everyone. So what we're going to be doing early next week is have a call with some of the people working on this very closely from staff, Olivia, Eduardo, and the people leading this on from the comms team to get down into the details so they can start moving ahead with this. So I hope that answers your question, guys.
Yes, okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks very much, Dave. Quick now follow-up from Ariel on the social media strategy. Just a few more words on this, please. And that's all related to Atlas, too.
Okay, thank you, Olivier. For tomorrow, I will have a call with Sergio, Eduardo, and Silvia about Atlas 2 social media strategy. Sergio already produced a document about what he envisioned, what we should do for Atlas 2, so I'm waiting for that strategy to come to my mailbox tonight, and I will read it. And I also send him the overall strategy, and he will comment on that, and then we'll discuss what will be the tactics for Atlas 2 in terms of social media. And I will also have a call with Natalie, who is handling corporate accounts for ICANN, and she will teach me all the tricks, how she plans and organizes content on Twitter and Facebook. And I will have a call with her tomorrow, so that will help with Atlas 2 social media. And on Friday, for the OC call, I will give an update, or Sergio will give an update about social media. So that's all the updates we have for now.
Okay, thank you very much, Ariel, for this. And so we can close this chapter, I think, with the at-large summit. We've gone through most of these, the follow-ups. Promotional items, you can see on the wiki page, there are quite a few promotional items, lanyards, et cetera, banners and things. And communications, I'm happy to see we're moving forward. Evan, you've put a note in the Adobe Connect that you might need to go soon. Thank you for passing by first, and we've heard of your circumstances, so it's appreciated that you're able to spend a few minutes with us at this very moment. Just asking with regards to the Policy Advisory Board, you missed that little part earlier during the call. The follow-up that we will have is to wait until the end of the comment period, the 7th. But, of course, the new GTLD working group, it looks to be the one that will then follow up on this. And so I have our staff to work with you to start doing some scheduling of maybe a conference call. But first, staff, I understand there's been a follow-up email that has been sent to the working group asking for a refreshing of the membership, and more people are joining. Once that process has been done, then the follow-up will take place with regards to the PAB, and an email will be sent out. So please work with staff next week and the week after. I think are the times when things will start moving in this. And that's pretty much it for you, Evan. I haven't seen anything else that requires your immediate involvement. Okay, now, ALFD certification on the agenda. We've spoken about it a little bit earlier. I have not heard back from some of the RALOs, and I hope that they have followed up. As ALAC members and as members of the Region LAC Large Organization, it would be good if you could ask your RALO leadership if they are okay with the details that are on the wiki page for the decertification, and to provide the input as soon as possible to be able to proceed forward with all the information that's needed. And then the new ALS application document we've already looked at earlier. Any other thoughts on the agenda? And we're at the moment, we're still going through the ALAC call agenda from the last time. Alan Greenberg, welcome. I know that you were on a GNSO call, but monitoring this channel at the same time. You now have the floor.
Thank you. I was on a GNSO call that got hijacked on something different from what we were supposed to be talking about. A very frustrating meeting. What I raised my hand for is on the decertification, we need to make sure that when we are referring to the rules, we point to the adjunct document, which is the formal version of the rules. It's just a matter of housekeeping, but that's we should be pointing to that document, because according to the ICANN bylaws, that document, which is attached to the rules of procedure, is the definitive version. So it doesn't change the substance, just a matter of pointing people to the authoritative document.
Aha. Now, thank you for this, Alan, and I was concerned about that. Did you review the page, the decertification page? Is that not pointing to the right location at the moment?
It's pointing to a web page, I think a web page which we just created, which has, I'm presuming the contents are the same. I have not looked at it word for word to verify that. There was an original web page on which we based the adjunct document, and I'm assuming that what is on the web page that the wiki page that we've been pointing to, is the same information, perhaps reformatted again. I haven't looked at it in that level of detail, though. I certainly could, but before I do that, I'd like to know from staff where they got the data so I'm not wasting my time.
Okay, thank you for this, Alan. Could I ask that Ariel follows up on this, please, as the I think that forgive me if I'm wrong, but is it Ariel who's in charge of this page, or who is in charge, Heidi?
Yeah, this is Heidi.
It is Ariel.
Ariel is now in charge just as of, I believe, yesterday. So, you know, I think she's done great, but, yeah, I mean, we're happy to change things as needed.
Yeah, but what I'm asking right now is whoever created that page, where did you get the contents?
You're asking people who are not here anymore, so I don't think it's going to ask such a question. Just make sure that Ariel fixes it.
I will take the time to review it then.
Thank you very much, Alan, and thanks, Ariel, in advance for tightening this process. It's a critical process that we're dealing with. So, Alan, you've also asked what happened regarding the ALAC statement on the CCWG Net Mondial submission. There was a discussion that took place earlier. I know that there are some. There was a suggestion made by Leon that there would be a second statement drafted, and some have voiced concerns here, including I think it was Tijani and Dave have included concerns as to saying yes, but if we write a statement, who would we send this statement to if we were to draft a statement commenting on the Net Mondial statement itself? Not the statement from the cross-community working group on internet governance. With regards to the very short statement that you drafted on the cross-community working group on internet governance, I think this pretty much is decided we can just proceed forward with it as a message of support. We have noted that there has been absolutely no input in that public comment period in the public forum at the moment.
Yeah, if I can note, there as of last night, certainly there was nothing. On rereading the CCWG statement, it focused largely on ICANN issues, which ultimately Net Mondial did not. So most of the substance in that statement, although we support the content, ended up not being relevant to the discussions. The Net Mondial organizers essentially finessed the issue that it did not, Net Mondial was not an attack on ICANN, which is a lot of what the CCWG statement was trying to defend against. And therefore, we were not prescient enough to know how the discussion would unfold at Net Mondial, and therefore a large part of that statement was not particularly relevant to the 2 days of discussion in Brazil, and therefore my feeling was just let sleeping dogs lie, and no one else has commented, we don't need to. But I can go with it either way.
Okay, thank you very much for this, Alan. So the suggestion that I made was to make a comment so as to show the ALAC's support of the cross-community working group itself. Now, a counter-argument, let me just play with all of your minds here, a counter-argument could be that we don't need to have such a thing, because when the charter will come to our attention, the ALAC will have to choose on whether it wants to adopt the charter or not, and that will be a good enough support for the working group itself if it decides to proceed forward with ratifying the charter.
I would tend to agree that we should be looking forward, not backward at this point.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. So since we do have, we had Evan earlier, we've got Dave and Tijani on the call and myself. That's 3 out of 5 ALAC leadership team members. Do any of you think that we should send a statement out? Or should we just drop this and follow Alan's suggestion just now? I see so much life on this call. Fantastic. I'm so pleased. So, I take it that then it's left to me. And okay, no. Tijani Benjamin, go ahead.
Thank you, Olivier. I agree with Alan. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Dave?
Thanks. This is Dave. I agree with Alan.
Okay. Well, Alan, you've made a very good deal, haven't you? You've done very well in drafting a one-line statement and then shooting it down so that it does, you know, all that work for nothing. So it looks like the ALAC will not be submitting
the work. The work did entail reading carefully the whole CCWG statement. So I do get to charge on a half an hour with it.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. Ariel, it's going to be a bit embarrassing because we've actually just notified the staff member in charge of, we have notified the staff member in charge of that public comment that we will be providing a statement in the reply period. But perhaps at that point we can then do an update. And so, Ariel, I'll ask you to please send a follow-up email and say that after further consideration, further careful consideration, the ALAC has decided not to submit a statement. And thanks the group for its patience. Okay, well, that's it, I think, for today's call, except if we are now into any other business.
Olivier?
Yes, Heidi, go ahead.
I didn't see your hand up.
Sorry,
I'm running to my computer. Did you want to talk about the Atlas and the Thursday schedule and the GAC questions, or did you want to do that by email? Or I can.
That's a very good point. Yes, thank you very much. That's a very good point that you've raised. So first, let's have Alan Greenberg, and then we'll discuss this other issue. And I hope we can make this a quick one, because we are past the top of our, the end of our call, or the official end of our call. Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, it's a very quick issue. I was just going to ask, has anyone heard from BCD Travel or Joseph recently? I obviously didn't have much opportunity to do my London travel request last week. I got it in 2 days ago. And I haven't even received an acknowledgement that it's been received or anything from either. So I'm just wondering, are they still alive or should I worry?
Thank you, Alan. Tijani?
The same here.
Okay. Thank you, Tijani. Heidi?
Heidi made her comment on the chat.
Yeah. Again, I will follow up on that, and I've just had a Skype from Seth Rice that, for some reason, his ticket's been canceled, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
I will call Joseph today.
I put in bold red at the top of my message, please acknowledge receipt. All I want is make sure the email system hasn't failed. But
yeah, so, Shani, Evan, is Evan still on the call?
Probably
not. Evan has left.
Okay, so I'll follow up on all. I did forward Evan's note. He had some concerns about that, so I'll call Joseph today. And again,
if I could also add, there has also been some concern with regard to some at-large summit travelers, but I think Carlos has followed up on that, thankfully. So that's no big deal, not such a big deal, because as you know, there's also this coordination with ISOC to have the ISOC chapters arrive one day earlier so as to be able to meet on location. And that introduces a few more complexities to the whole travel issue. Maureen has not had responses either. So Carlos has responded, but not the travel staff. So,
related, it's Alan. Related to that, is there going to be an ALT meeting this dinner this time, and if so, on which day?
Thank you very much, Alan. I believe there will not be an ALT dinner. ALT dinner is usually on the Saturday night, isn't it?
It looks
unlikely that there will be one.
Because
I'm very likely to be busy on the Friday night due to the dinner with Fadi Shahade and the chairs of SOS and AT. And then Saturday night we have a dinner that's organized that will take place in a pub. That will be sponsored by Philius. And then Sunday night, there is an event taking place as well, which I believe will be sponsored by London and Country. that will be an ICANN-wide event. So no such dinners so far. Tijani Benjamin.
Thank you, Olivier. I am asking about the ISOC event. Is it only for the chapters or for the ISOC members? Because I am ISOC member, and I don't know if there will be an arrangement for me also to attend this meeting. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tijani. So ISOC is basically taking the cost of one night of hotel for any of the at-large structure representatives that are representing an ISOC chapter. They are also picking up the differential in cost between arrival on Friday and arrival on Thursday as far as flights are concerned, although it's quite likely that flights are cheaper on Thursday than on Friday. But they're not doing this with all of the ISOC members. Now, on the other hand, though, the meeting which ISOC is going to have on the Friday is a half-day meeting, and so far I have not heard any information saying that the meeting would be closed. In other words, anyone, if they arrive early, would be able to attend that meeting. This is yet to be confirmed, though, but this is my understanding at the moment because they have a room that is large enough on the Friday in another venue to be able to have people meet and for this ISOC meeting to take place. But they're not going to fund ISOC members as such. They will just fund the ELS reps that are reps of the ISOC ELSs. And I think that they're also not funding any, well, I don't really know whether they're funding any other chapters that are not ELSs either. That's another question. Okay, so in the any other business department, there is another thing to touch on, and that's to do with, and I've totally forgotten what it was to do with now.
Olivier, this is Heidi. It's actually
Thursday.
It's actually on the agenda.
It's on the agenda. Okay, yes. I have to go back to my agenda list. Where are we? Meeting with the board and with a GAC. Here we are. So we've got the APS2 update. We've done that. And then agenda items for meeting with the board and with a GAC. We are going to definitely meet with the board. It's not sure whether we will be meeting with a GAC or not, and we need to come up with agenda items as soon as possible because our meeting with a GAC depends on the agenda items that we would like to bring forward. Just as a reminder, the main points that we made with the board and with a GAC was to do with the public interest commitments, the PICs, and the PAB, the Policy Advisory Board, and we had much movement on this. I don't know at the moment whether there's been any follow-up or any feedback on this so far and what the follow-up was. So I don't really know what the current topics would be for the board and for the GAC. The hot topics I would suggest could be now the IANA issue and driving forward the point that we need to have user involvement. And I think that perhaps one of the things we will need to do is to make sure that when we say we need user involvement or end user involvement, we're quite clear about what kind of involvement we would like from the end user and in what context. Every time I say we need end user involvement, I receive pushback from people saying, ah, but hang on. What does an end user have to do with a contract between ICANN and the company that runs, the regional internet registry that will allocate addresses? What do you want? Users and operations? Do you want a whole number of stupid allegations basically that are thrown back at us to discredit our interest in the end user involvement? And I think that we need to be quite clear about what type of end user involvement we want. And certainly my suggestion would be that we want the end user to be involved in any kind of accountability mechanism that will need to be put in place to replace the U.S. government operation. And again, I'm keeping this quite woolly because we're still very early on in the discussions, but certainly there needs to be a direct user involvement in the accountability mechanisms themselves. Perhaps not in the operations, although this might need to be debated first, but certainly in the accountability. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
I guess I'm going to differ with you in wording, but not the intent. I do not want end user involvement in any of these issues. I want involvement of those organizations and entities that have a responsibility for considering end user issues. So we don't want five end users from around the world who barely know how to use a web browser and Excel to be involved in these discussions. We want involvement of at large, for instance, of ALAC, of entities that have a responsibility for user, for making sure that user issues are addressed.
Okay, so you would like to have end user entities involved.
We probably need to come up with the right wording, but it's not end user involvement. Yeah. It's making sure that all of these actions, all of these processes factor in the needs of end users.
So thank you, Alan. So that, it's Olivier speaking, and I think that's the point specifically. We need to get our language correct on this.
That's correct.
And then we need to move forward on that. And so really the question here is whether you think this would be our next big step forward, speak to the board about this and speaking to the GAC about this. Or do you think that there's anything else that we need to be pursuing strongly?
I don't think it's a GAC issue. I do think it's a board issue. It's the same issue as at large does not represent the 2 billion users. At large represents the interests of 2 billion users. And it's the same type of language that we need to be consistent of, because we will get shot down saying we want end user involvement. That's not what we need. We need to make sure end users are considered in the decision process. And if there are few end user issues, then we will not have a lot to say.
Okay. Thank you for this, Alan. Heidi, when do we need that input for the GAC topics and the ALAC topic and the board topics?
This is Heidi. For the GAC, I would say mid next week because the meeting forms are going to be out shortly. For the board, I would think that you have at least a month or so to do that.
Okay, thank you. So, please, is it possible for you to share this question? I'm sorry.
Excuse me, Olivia. Julie speaking. Is there a wish to meet with the ESAC this time?
That's a very good point. Let's park this for a moment. I just wanted to finish on the GAC and ELAC, GAC and board thing. Just to finish my train of thought on this one, let's send out a call for this question on topics to be sent to the ELAC, please. ALAC topics for the meeting with the board and ALAC topics for the meeting with the GAC. And if we could already have those wiki pages set up and ready for London, the same wiki pages as we usually have for every at-large meeting, then we can already launch the process on this.
On that point, if I might.
Go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. But on that point, we had another draft wiki page, I believe, that is more for an atlas rather than for the London meeting. And that is sort of parked as well, just because of some sensitivities, that we need to post that ASAP.
Okay, please, yes, go ahead. That needs to move forward. Okay, so that's one thing. Now, over to Julie Hammer. And the question as to whether the ALAC would like to meet with the ESAC, Quick question, do we have enough time for this? And if we do, then let's do it. Because, you know, again, I think that what we might wish to discuss with the SAC on this occasion is slightly different to what we usually have. And one of the questions we might wish to ask from the SAC is the point of view as far as the SAC is concerned regarding the NTIA issue. I know that there are several points of stability and security which revolve around this, and it might be of importance, or it certainly is of importance to end users and to us to gain a clarity on that.
Well, yes, Julie speaking. The SAC has a work party working on that, as I'm sure all groups do, and they certainly intend to have something out by London. And so I think that would certainly form part of any briefing that the SAC would be doing. So I guess noting that our normal meeting time is on a Sunday, but that's not going to be possible with the Atlas agenda. If there was a wish to have a meeting between ALAC and SAC, then perhaps Heidi could talk to Julie Headland about a time slot sometime Tuesday morning, working around the board and the GAC, or the possible board and GAC meetings perhaps.
Yes, thank you very much, Julie. What I actually have on the screen at the moment, Heidi has mentioned possible times to meet with the SAC could be on Monday during the ALAC meeting from 14:30 to 17:30, Monday afternoon. Is the SAC busy around that time? Or?
I don't believe so. I think I wasn't sure whether that time would be available, but I think that that would probably be possible for SAC. Certainly Julie Headland would know.
Okay, thank you very much for this, Julie. And what I would suggest then is to just follow up after the call and through the usual channels with staff following up with Julie. But are there any objections to the SAC meeting with the ALAC on this call? I don't see anyone saying or cautioning against it, so let's proceed forward with it, please, as well.
Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you for bringing this up. Now, Maureen Hilliard mentioned the ALAC at-large cocktail with the CCNSO on Tuesday night. Again, if I could ask you, Maureen, to just follow up afterwards via the usual channels and staff channels for this to all be coordinated and so on. I do realize we will have a very, very busy schedule. And on top of this, just to compound to the schedule, there is likely to be some change, and I think we have time to discuss this now quickly, there is likely to be some change with regards to the Friday scheduling. Steve Crocker has sent an email to the SO and AC chairs list suggesting that the Friday would be completely taken up. From 10 o'clock onwards, I think, with some public discussion, topical-based public discussion. So effectively, one would have the day being set up in a similar fashion to the Net Mondial meeting, which means having a large number of people. So you'd have basically a few people on stage and a large number of people in the room. Four microphones, one for governments, one for private sector, one for academia and technical community, and one for civil society. And then the cycle to go between those four microphones and the discussion would take place about the NTIA topic. And so that would eat up part of our morning where we have our wrap-up. So far, the response on the SOAT chairs list has been lukewarm. But not cold, so that's already one thing forward, and we need to also be producing a response. I've spoken to Heidi as to the ability for us to move any of our things from Friday forward into the week, and although it's not easy and it will introduce certainly some stress, there might be some ways to do so. Alan Greenberg, you put your hand up.
Indeed, we've been instructed.
Olivier, it's Thursday and not Friday. Sorry, it is Thursday and not Friday.
Did I say Friday?
You said Friday.
I apologize. Sorry.
Yes, you said Friday, yeah.
Thursday. I mean on the Thursday. Alan Greenberg.
Well, that's what I was going to ask also, because we've been instructed to leave on Friday. If there's now a formal meeting on Friday, is constituency travel going to... I was going to ask, does constituency travel know about this or not? But if it's...
So rewind and start from scratch again, and I'm not going to repeat everything, but take the text that you've got in your mind, replace Friday with Thursday. We're looking at having all of Thursday taken up by topical discussion.
Or significant.
So
except for that the early morning where wrap-up
could take place. Yeah, so the plenary, because we have a plenary session with all of the ELSs, and we've also got a wrap-up. Heidi suggests that the plenary session, the finally plenary session, would take place on Thursday morning from 7 until 10 a.m., and then we all go to the main hall for the big discussion from 10 to 12, and then the wrap-up takes place in 1 hour from 1200 to 1300 during the lunchtime, and our room will be available, our room with interpretation will be available. And then at 1300 hours, we go back to the main room for the rest of the big discussion.
Olivier, I've got to leave in a moment, so I'm going to simply step in right now and say I am exceedingly frustrated having been told there's not enough work to do to have a meeting on Friday, and now we are continually having everything else juggled to somehow fit into this four-day official week. I am getting more and more pissed. Excuse the language.
Thank you very much, Alan. Any other comments or thoughts? I sense that everyone is probably muting their mic at the very moment, and several expletives coming around. Alan, I have seen others on the SO and AC chairs list emit the same concerns, perhaps not with the expletive at the end, but certainly saying that they are also concerned about the fact that we have been asked to shorten the week and yet are juggling things around. I have no answer for you.
I'll point out that
Alan.
Was a very mild expletive.
It was mild, yes. Tijani Benjema.
Thank you, Olivier. I cannot agree more with Alan Greenberg. I will give you another experience I had very recently. I was invited by the ICANN Vice Chair for Africa to go to Cotonou an event there, and to speak there. And I accepted. The conscience travel told me you have to pay the extra night. The extra night is the night between the last working day and the departing. So I said, I apologize, I will not go under those conditions. And till now, I don't have, they said they will try to find another flight after the event. This is, I don't want to develop more, but this is the recurring problem. And also for London, they ask us to leave on Friday. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And so, Heidi, please take note of this. You have asked me earlier of concerns in the at-large community with such treatment. And that's one example. Any other comments or questions? And I think we're going to have to wrap this one up. I don't see any consensus so far as to what we can do on that day. Certainly, you know, on the Thursday, starting at 7, finishing at 10, then moving to the main hall, and then afterwards during a wrap-up between 12 and 1300, does bring concerns to me with regards to breakfast and with regards to lunch. And I do not know at the moment whether we would be able to be supplied with breakfast at 700 or 700 hours, or whether there would be some ability to have some kind of a packed lunch from 1200 to 1300, and whether ICANN would be able to extend the pittance of a packed lunch for us. The reason being that the venue being so small, it will be practically impossible for our community to both take part in the wrap-up and also take part in the afternoon discussions in the main hall. And so we will end up with some real concerns of being underrepresented in that main hall when the optics seem to be that we are very well represented since everyone is able to go to the mic. And that's one thing I would object to, making it look like we are there, but then we're not. Tijani, your hand is still up.
Yes, it is a new hand. Thank you. Olivier, I am really concerned about that because our wrap-up session will be the session where we will agree on the final document of the summit. It will be one of the most important moments of the summit, and we don't have to do it very early in the morning because people will be still sleepy with the time shift also, so you understand that it will not be very convenient. And during lunchtime, I don't know, we will not have enough time to do it. It will be fragmented in this case. So I am really concerned, and perhaps if I don't know if Heidi can see if it is possible to move it to another day, perhaps to Wednesday. It is possible for us, but Wednesday we have the general assemblies, so it will not be possible. It is a real problem for us. It will be a real problem for us, and I don't see any solution, any good solution for it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Tijani. Heidi, please. Yes,
very,
I was going to call
quickly.
Upon you.
Yeah, very quickly. So, you know, I know that this has been absolutely last minute, so I'm hoping that there'll be some accommodation and flexibility on the meeting time. So we had originally scheduled a four-hour plenary, final plenary for the adoption of the final declaration. And that would also have included the ALAC wrap-up session. So this new proposal of having a three-hour plenary to finalize that declaration and having a one-hour wrap-up session, which would essentially be the adoption by the ALAC of that declaration, is a new plan. In terms of the food, we can definitely look into that to see if there will be something available for the morning and then for the ALAC for the afternoon, the lunchtime working session on that.
Thank you very much, Heidi. Is there any chance of shuffling some of the earlier days before that? And I'm not asking for an immediate answer. Could you perhaps, with Gisela or whoever is a genius in those things, sort of provide the ATLAS organizing committee on Friday with any solutions, any potential solutions? I see what you've just explained to us just now is one solution. Could there be other solutions, potential solutions for us, maybe shifting things earlier forward?
So, Olivia, this is Heidi again. So you're thinking of having the plenary on Wednesday or something like that? But that would require some meetings, and likely some of the General Assemblies to be taking place on Thursday, so their input would not be in any kind of final declaration. And I'm not sure if that's acceptable.
So the whole pipeline would have to move earlier, isn't it? The whole train would have to start earlier than expected.
Exactly.
Let's put this on the side. It's
exactly.
Been now 2 hours into our call, and I realize we're getting a bit tired and probably a bit less productive than at the beginning of this call. So I think we put this on the side and continue this discussion in the organizing committee call later on this week. And we will, either Tijani or myself, I can certainly volunteer to bring this item up forward. And staff, please remind me if I forget.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone. I think we've gone through all of the points. Any other business? Seeing no one put their hand, I thank you all for this very long call once again, but it's been very productive. And therefore, I declare this call adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you,
goodbye.
Everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Olivier. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Maureen, signing off.
Have a good day.
Thank you, everyone, for joining today's meeting. The meeting